it's time to go out and...
Hey, boys and girls, from that nightclub at the end of the world here in the San Luis Valley at 8,100 feet in Colorado, sandwiched, or actually set between the beautiful Sangre de Cristo Mountains and the San Juan Mountains, is Mike Rupert. We're at the nightclub at the end of the world, and we're back again for another week of joy and festivity as the world continues on its merry, careening way. I'm kind of reminded of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, but Earth is no longer just basically a harmless place, but you have to have a sense of humor. It's good to be back. We have an amazing guest, Tammy Gosnell, who will be joining us in a few minutes, and I just thought I would take some time to update you guys before we get here, get her on. As you've been, may or may not have been following at CollapseNet or elsewhere, the U.S. drought is just so severe that Al Jazeera has taken notice. They do some good journalism, and they're stating the obvious, that there are some 48 countries that rely on the United States for food supplies every year to keep their poor populations fed and passive rather than restive and upset. And Al Jazeera has said quite accurately that the U.S. drought is going to trigger some major food riots around the world, and that's on the way before the year is out. It's going to be happening actually very shortly. Everything else continues apace in its madness. While the Republicans have gathered in Tampa, Florida, and so have some Ron Paul fans, that's one of the things we're going to talk to Tammy Gosnell about when we get her on the line here. And so let me just catch you up on what's going on here. I've been through this amazing quote-unquote transition. I have to laugh. That's a tongue-in-cheek. That's not the way Transition U.S. had envisioned us transitioning. But I'm going through the collapse with you, and I came here now it's just a little over a week ago. With everything that I own in the back of my RAV4, and I've gone through a long process to get here. Tammy Gosnell, actually, and her wonderful partner, Erica Schumacher, were there through a lot of that. That's one of the things we're going to talk about. But a lot of people have been asking how Rags is doing. And Rags is struggling right now. Rags has torn an ACL in his left rear. He's had a blowout in the left rear, behind his left rear knee. And that means surgery, which raises some, you know, difficult questions, because I obviously did not leave Sebastopol. I left it happily and well with a ton of love, but not a lot of money. And so here I am adapting. And here's the beauty of this. This is that I get here, and through synchronicity, and don't discount synchronicity as you go through your own experiences. That's why it's so important to network. I came across a vet in beautiful Salida, Colorado. I've been to Salida about four times since I've been here. It's a beautiful town. And the vet happens to be an experienced shooter like I am. And System D at work, I have it's my prized handgun, a Kimber 45 automatic. But guess what? I trade that. That'll just cover the cost of fixing Rags up. And that's the kind of friendship and cooperation we look for as the old system on a daily basis is less and less effective and functional. Creativity, I can do without anything in the world except for my friends. And, well, you know what, I'm going to bring her on pretty quick here, because Tammy Gosnell is a really good friend. You will know her because I've been playing the crap out of her music on this show for about the last month or so. And we played some kick-ass songs. And I had talked about potentially going down to the Ron Paul Fest, the Paul Fest in Tampa, Florida. That was supposed to be the gig of a lifetime, but that was before it became apparent I had to lose my place to live. Tammy went down there and did it, and she just did amazing. I watched her performance live. I guess it was 2 days ago now. She had six or seven songs, and the camera setup was terrible. Looked like the room was empty, but she was drawing them in, and the chat's on. She just did an amazing job. But she also was my neighbor up in West Sonoma County, California, and we walked through those last days of me living there. We've been friends for quite a while now, actually, and I've been threatening to have her as a guest on this show. And I thought it was time we got over with that, because Tammy is actually now in Tampa, Florida, outside the Republican convention. So, among other things, she's going to be a reporter for us down there and tell us about the things that she sees. First of all, let's find out if you're here. Calling Tammy Gosnell. Tammy Gosnell, come in, please.
Check, over and out. That's me.
Hey, girl, what's up?
Oh, not not much. You know, yeah, I heard you say that I was going to be outside the convention. Well, we were going to go to the fest, the Paul Fest, but it's really slow right now because everybody is downtown.
For the convention?
Well, you know, it hasn't started yet, but everybody's downtown. I guess there was an after party at Whiskey Joe's, which is on the beach. And I'm sure that the 11,000-plus people that were there need to let off some steam after that awesome rally tonight at the Sundome.
Okay, so that brings up the first question. What kind of a turnout did the Paul Fest have? How many people showed up for it?
You know, there was differing numbers, but, you know, a few thousand. It wasn't that big. They had expected more, but I think that, you know, there was a lot of problems. And to be frank, I think the organization was a little off, but mm-hmm. I think that everyone's heart was in it for the right reasons, and there's a lot of lessons to be learned as far as that goes. Unfortunately, they didn't get the public support of Ron Paul, which they were hoping to get him there, and then it just never really worked out because Jesse Benton, of course, Ron Paul's campaign manager, said that if they couldn't control the tone and the message, then they couldn't be a part of it. And so, you know, it was unfortunate, but you know, a lot of people took part in both events, so I thought it was a success.
Was there a general mood of disappointment? Because we know that, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, there was a lot of high hopes that Ron Paul might fight for the nomination. What was the general mood of the people who were there? Because I remember when I was a press spokesman for Ross Perot in 1992 in L.A., when Ross Perot pulled out, there was a brave face, stiff upper lip, you know, let's carry on kind of thing that petered out. What was the mood of the people you saw there?
Oh, I am so glad I came here. Just because to hear everyone speak, you know, there's a difference between the last couple of movements that sprung up, you know, the Tea Party first and then Occupy and this one now. There's a difference. The Tea Party and the Occupy, and my respect goes to both movements, honestly, but they asked the powers that be to change. And the difference now is this movement has not only, it sprung out of, yes, you know, Ron Paul woke a lot of people up, and he brought a lot of people in. And now the next step is everyone is going to go and take over their local governments. There's 13,000 people. That's plenty.
Yeah.
That's what's going on right now. Nobody's going to give up. There was chance of Paul's 2016 going. And I think that it's just the mood is that, yes, we're disappointed. And, yes, delegates were, not only were they strong-armed verbally, some people got broken bones. There's reports out here that delegates were finding weed stashed in their rooms.
These are Ron Paul delegates?
Yes. I mean, there is so many dirty tricks, and, you know, there's been so many differing reports. I can't even tell you what's accurate right now.
Weed, you mean that evil plant, marijuana? that signifies that whoever possesses it is a communist or a conspiracy theorist or a pervert?
Yes, and so delegates were finding that in their safes in their motel rooms, planted. And so they were reporting it. So, I mean, this is the lengths. That's where all the marijuana goes that gets confiscated, by the way.
Jesus. This is not a very healthy world, is it? So is the Paul Fest still going on, or what's the agenda?
I just texted Deborah Robnett, who is, you know, at the top of the chain there at Paul Fest, and asked her what was going on, and she said, you know, it was really slow because it did start to rain, and, you know, and then, like I said, after the Sundome, I can't imagine, Ron Paul and all of his people were going downtown. So, I mean, after the speech, which was just electrifying, and he couldn't get people to stop cheering, you know, how it makes him feel uncomfortable after a while. But I can only imagine, you know, the people are just down there having a good time. And honestly, I had to stay away. I don't have the urge to be around military, paramilitary, and tops up to my ears. It just didn't seem like it doesn't seem like a free country in downtown Tampa. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Now you're in Tampa. The Republican convention, I believe, has been delayed for a day. But I saw a story today in a couple of sources that John Sununu, who was chair of the Rules Committee, and a Ron Paul supporter, a Ron Paul man, fled the Rules Committee. And I've heard a little speculation that maybe Ron Paul might be up to something. I don't know. I doubt it. I believe it's way too late for that. I think that's a pipe dream. But have you heard any scuttlebutt like that walking around?
You know, yeah, we've heard stuff here and there, and honestly, I'm not really the person to ask for details because, honestly, there's a lot of information going on, and then you'll get a news report or somebody will say something, and then it'll change. So I don't even feel comfortable even going into it. But, yeah, there's a lot of dirty tricks happening, and I really feel for the delegates. Some of the delegates didn't even show up to the Sun Dome tonight because they were that devastated.
Wow. Well,
there's people who, people like you and me, we don't have money, but these people are getting out here because they believe in liberty and freedom and getting our, becoming something better than a debt slave, and they came and now they're not going to be able to seat as delegates and they are devastated.
Well, I've been out on the road that I walk a long time. You know that, and I'm pretty cynical, and I guess that's one of the things that I hate to see happen over and over again is the naive to get their hopes crushed by how dirty stuff can get, by how rigged everything is.
I agree, but here's the deal. There were some people who didn't come that were delegates. They were devastated. And there was a whole slew of other ones that did. And they're not going to stop. And they're never going to give up. And the key that was throughout all the speeches today and that everyone believes in and they're doing, I'm proof positive of that, too. Once Ron Paul started going, and even before that, I decided I had to take a stand in my local government and make things the way I wanted it. And fortunately, I found out that it's really easy. It's simple. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But to go to your neighbor's houses, that's the only way we can do this, is to get the information out, going to our neighbor's houses and talking to them and getting to know each other. And once we have that rapport and we unite, it's over for them.
No.
And this is what's so exciting.
All right. So you've been down there for, 4 days now?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been milling around with all of the people who showed up for Paul Fest, and you put that number at, 10,000, 11,000, something like that?
No, at Paul Fest, no, it was just a couple of thousand. No,
okay.
No, not that high. That was at the Sun Dome.
Oh, okay. I just want to clarify for the listeners. The Sun Dome was a Ron Paul event, or was that a Republican
event? Yes. And there was speakers. Barry Goldwater Jr. spoke, and a few others, and Rand Paul even briefly. He actually introduced Ron. That was a tense moment in the audience.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you could feel it. You could feel it. If what I felt was is that people were clapping for Rand because they wanted to be polite to Ron.
Yeah.
After the Romney endorsement, I tell you what, if Ron wouldn't have been in the building, there would have been a lot of a different response going on.
Okay, so describe to me the demographics of the 2,000 hardcores who put their heart and who were committed, who came. How would you describe them? Were they from a specific region of the country? Were they hippies? What were they? Who did you meet down there? Who was interesting?
I tell you what, it is so great to know that he truly does bring all people together. And it's not just him. It's not about Ron Paul. It's about the idea of freedom, the Constitution, out of debt slavery. This brings all kinds of different people together. And at first I thought, this is, more males than females. But then I realized, no, it's about equal in females. We had people of color. We had younger. We had older. We had veterans. We had punks. There's a few hippies, not many. I actually, when I played music on stage, I asked if anyone had been to Woodstock, and one person raised their hand. So I think the biggest demographic was regular, hardworking, middle-class people.
Okay.
And that's what hit me the hardest. I'm looking out there, and I'm seeing my parents, you know.
Now I watched your performance, and I just thought it was amazing. I had hoped to be there singing with you, and I'm glad that you had Erica Schumacher with you up on the stage, although the camera was set that you looked like a couple of white blobs moving around, but the audio was terrific, and you sounded great. They happened to run Barack Obama commercials, 10 or 15-second commercials, in the middle of three of your songs. And then for your last song, they ran a 15-second commercial for a pharmaceutical company. Kind of rude. But, man, I could see you drawing them in and the chat scrolls as you were performing. This was on Ustream Video. Was amazing. Who is she? She's terrific. What's her name? She rocks. And I was really pleased to see that because, of course, I know that. And, Tammy, you know that we are now in a nightclub at the end of the world, right?
I do.
And you know that we play one song per show, right?
I'm excited.
Well, I've exercised my prerogative as the host of this show, and I have picked a song tonight. It happens to be a song by Tammy Gosnell. And it happens to be a song called New Paradigm. You played that in Tampa, and after we listen to it now, we'll have you talk about how you wrote it. Let's hear Tammy Gosnell sing New Paradigm.
Thank you.
That was Tammy Gosnell singing New Paradigm, and by strange coincidence, Tammy Gosnell happens to be our guest tonight on the Lifeboat Hour. You can find all the information on her, how to buy her terrific CDs at TammyGosnell.com. And just Google it, TammyGosnell, and I'm Tammy, I hope you realize that I'm plugging you shamelessly here.
I'm excited about that, you know, and also I'd like to add, please use startpage.com instead of Google.
You go, girl. All right, so so we're coming back for that, and obviously that's a meme, the new paradigm that you know that I and many others have been talking about. It's coming. It's emerging one way or another. It's kind of an it's not a predictable birth, but it clearly is happening. How many people in Tampa in the 4 days that you've been there, the Ron Paul supporters, grasped anything as big as the fact that this is not just about politics and signing petitions and all that stuff, which I have pretty much walked away from, deeming it useless at this point. But how many people among the Ron Paul supporters grasped that there was something more significant happening right now? Something that was, you know, like that involved a new paradigm or the change of an age, like the old solutions aren't working anymore. How many people got that?
Oh, I'm so excited that you asked me that, because before I would have gone, I would have told you, you know, who knows. But now that I've been here, I'm pretty sure that most of the people here realize that it is so much more. And just listening to the speeches at Sundome told me everything I need to know. Everyone was talking about this, the heart, this heart of ours. Even Ron Paul was talking about the end of an age and the beginning of a new one.
Oh,
and
really?
he knows that it's already come. And everybody was speaking in those terms. I mean, every single person I talked to, there's a spiritual edge to this. And I think, you know, it just goes to show that, I mean, with the crowd that came, you know, people under 50, Hispanics, Blacks, whites, youth, boys, girls, men, women, you know, all different kinds of backgrounds, engineers and janitors.
Yeah.
It's just, I think that this movement has attracted the people that it needs to attract, and that is authentic, heart-centered beings. And I was so encouraged by all the speeches that I heard, because there was an air of that, and it was so much more than politics. And even some people said, you know, we don't like the system. We were out of politics all along, but you know, it's we're not looking at it from a top down situation anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is a grass fire that started, and you know, unfortunately, they don't have a fire truck or enough men to put this one out.
Sometimes you have a way with words. This is kind of a perfect segue for something else that you did. We're about 4 minutes away from the break at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to talk a couple minutes, and I'm going to give some updates. We'll take a break and come back. We'll spend the rest of the show talking about what Tammy does. She calls herself what did you call yourself, a sound mechanic?
I was calling, my clever name now is an energy mechanic.
Ah. Well, let me just set this up, because we have talked about this at some length on the Lifeboat Hour in previous shows, that the absolutely amazing work now out of particle physics, confirming literally that everything that exists is a frequency. That's it. All that we see as tangible matter in the world is literally nothing more than frequencies, vibrations. And that is becoming very clear. That's why the emphasis of those prophesying a golden age to come and an evolution coming very soon, where mankind will live from the heart rather than from the head, because the heart has a different frequency. And frequencies mean everything. Fear has a distinct frequency. But I have been to, three or four sessions with Tammy Gosnell, and she is amazing in the work that she does with tone. She has this Tibetan bowl that makes your skull vibrate in wonderful ways, and she does this thing with sound. Now, for you know, to be politically correct, we don't use the word sound healing, whatever, but sound does and can heal. And Tammy is kind of a master at this. She's very good, and it's an amazing practice that's very therapeutic. It aids meditation. And I know because I've done it. But Tammy kind of sprung something like this on the people at Paul Fest, and that was my tongue-in-cheek really exciting thing. I kind of view Tammy as a secret agent going in. Tammy, we got 2 minutes before break. Why don't you kind of set up what this is all about and how it works, and then we'll pick up with that after the break. And then also after the break, I want to talk about the amazing experience I had leaving Sebastopol. You and Erica were there for a lot of it, and there was a lot of love being shared, and that was a very special process. And that's something that's important for our listeners, too, because not everybody's having a good time, and we need to show people how to get through the tough times with love. But Tammy, take about a minute and a half to talk about how this works, and then we'll take a break.
Very well said there, Mike. Yeah, okay, so the sound healing, and the reason why I get away from the word healing is, yes, it's part because it's a lawyer speak kind of thing, but the other part is a lot of times people, when they go into healing, they think, oh, I have something I have to fix. And I don't want to look at it that way. I don't want to go about it that way. I want to go the other way, which is all we're doing is we're rising in vibration. We're actually coming out of those lower states of fear and anger, and then moving on above that. So then we change our perspective. And sometimes the problems that we have before that perspective change, they just go away once we've changed our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I've seen transformations, people quitting smoking, bones healing, backs being put in back into place, Parkinson's, you name it.
And we have done this in a group setting. You did that in Tampa. How was that received in Tampa? Well, let's leave that question for after we come back from station break. I want to know how that was received in Tampa and if anybody else was hip to it. Right now, this is Mike Rupert on the Lifeboat Hour at PRN FM. We will be back right after these messages. Sometimes understanding is the booby prize. Don't ask why me. You just deal with the stuff that happens when it happens. We're back on the Lifeboat Hour with my good friend Tammy Gosnell tonight. Just coming back from break. That song was Running with the New White Trash, which is my band. And I'm happen to be living with my bandmate Doug Lewis out here in Colorado right now. You can find our songs at newwhitetrash.com. I have a couple of programming notes to make before we get back. I will be absent from the show next week. But guesting for me will be someone who you all know and love, Carolyn Baker, and she's told me, I talked to her today, she's going to have two special guests on with her next week from an evolution, if you will, of the Transition U.S. movement, which Carolyn called like a transition on spiritual steroids, which I applaud wholeheartedly. I think for those of you who have been very closely following all the work we've been doing since roughly April here with the change in consciousness that's happening, I think you're going to find a really exciting show with Carolyn Baker next week. I will be attending a Lakota sweat lodge with Chief Stephen Blue Elk of the Lakota people here in Crestone, Colorado, and I am very much looking forward to that. There's a ton of activity here, and that's something I thought it was worth me taking a week off for, even after all the stuff I've been through. So that's where I'll be next week. We'll be back the week following, probably with a very exciting guest. So just make a note of that. Now we're back with Tammy Gosnell, and we left before the station break. And I had asked about what she had done on stage with sound and how that was received, and if there was anybody else there in that milieu who was hip to it. Tammy, tell us all about it. Just talk,
girl.
Just talk.
You're asking the right questions. I'll just tell you that right now. Okay, so yeah, the audience. This was one of the highlights of the whole thing. I was scared. I was scared out of my gourd to do this. Honestly,
it didn't
to tell
show.
You the truth.
I watched every second. You were right on top of the whole thing. Anyway, go
well,
ahead.
I appreciate that. But yeah, so I briefly explained, and I honestly will learn my lessons well here. I will explain a little bit better before I start doing it. But I will tell you that with the opening ah, and I explained that the ah was a good, you know, vowel sound for the heart, and explained how ah, the sigh actually comes from the heart.
And essentially, this is where everybody in the audience, without choosing a pre-selected note, just goes ah, and holds that, right?
Yes, and I was astonished, and I actually almost thought I couldn't even do it because the sound was really loud from stage, and I thought I'm not even going to be able to hear everybody. And Erica made a good point. She said, do you need to hear them, or is this just for everybody to feel that feeling? And I said, you know what? You're right. And so we went ahead and did it. I'm so grateful that she said that to me. Mm-hmm. And so I explained briefly, we did the ahs, and so many people joined in that we could hear them from stage.
That was a big room. Now, I couldn't see from the camera how big the room was. How big was the, was that the Sun Dome?
No, it was not at the Sun Dome. It was actually the Expo or the Convention Center or Expo Center. I'm not quite sure what they were calling it at the fairgrounds there. It was inside, and yeah, it was a really big room. There wasn't, you know, there could have been 100, 150 people in there, on the sides, around the back. But a lot of people joined in, and I was so excited. I was excited for them and excited for me, and it was pretty funny. But, you know, on the other hand of that, though, there was people who, and I'm proud of this, actually, there were people who, in this movement, who were laughing and uncomfortable and, you know, fidgeting around and not doing it. And I thought, this is a good sign.
Uh-huh.
If I can get the people in this movement who are probably some of the most open-minded people that you will find on the planet,
yeah,
to laugh and be uncomfortable with what I'm doing, I'm loving that.
Well, that was kind of the whole idea when you first pitched the idea to me too, and I thought I was going to get to come down there with you,
yeah.
But to kind of spring that. So after you, how long was the session? Was it about 4 minutes, 5 minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was around there.
Okay, so after that was done, that wasn't your last, or was that your last song out of six?
That was the last song.
Okay.
Yes, we
all
ended
right.
with that.
So after that was done, and you did your set, and everybody realized, you know, what a kick-ass singer-songwriter performer you are, and how good you and Erica are. You got off the stage after having done the sound bit. Now, what happened after that?
Well, it was one awesome, grateful person after the next. This is where I got to meet most of the people that I knew I came here to meet. And, you know, it ranged from people who loved the way I sang and were open to trying anything just once, and they were all really curious about the sound healing. And then I went, you know, and met someone who works with some of the top scientists with biofeedback and using frequency to bring cells back into order.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really interesting because I got to talk to him a lot. And, you know, yeah, a lot of people were really intrigued and interested, and they were entertained, and they were uncomfortable, and I think that's my favorite kind of show.
All right, we're going to go into this a little further because this is very significant stuff. Sound, the use of sound, whether it's just music to go through these stressful times, or the importance of what comes out of one's mouth and the sounds that one makes can't be overemphasized. This is a lesson took me a long time to fully appreciate. But Tammy really knows her stuff here, and anybody wants to ask Tammy or me a question about anything, call in tonight at 1-888-874-4888, 1-888-874-4888, or email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. www.sound.com. So after this was over, did you say that you found other sound healers there also?
I found people who work with frequency, but it's more on the electrical side. And I feel that what we're doing is more on the magnetic side, you know, more earth-based, receiving type, you know, a heart technology, you know, and these people and the people that I talked to were coming from the electrical side. And it was interesting, Bill, he was telling me how, I can't remember his last name, and who knows if he even wants me to talk about him. He was
doing
telling
anyway.
Me how he had just realized the significance of magnetism 6 months ago. And here I was, and I'm such a lay person, it's not even funny, but then I'm the one who was coming to him with magnetism, and then he's like, oh, yes, I just learned about it 6 months ago. So very interesting. And, yes, oh, here's what he does, Acuscope Myopulse Therapy.
Huh?
So search that one. Yeah, so, you know, there was a great response. I was excited. And, yeah, the guy who I talked to excited me because I thought that was great. They've been treating horses. It rebuilds cartilage. And this is basically a frequency-based modality that they're using.
Now, clarify for me because I'm not sure I was clear. You made a distinction between electrical and magnetic. Elaborate on that.
Well, this is just... You know, this is a lot of information that I've gotten from Mother Earth directly. The electromagnetism of our bodies and how, you know, living in houses and being around all this electricity has thrown a lot of us out of balance and a lot of us way out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the more organic, body-based modalities is what... is more magnetic. We're drawing up energy from Mother Earth.
No, I've seen you and I've felt you work with your Tibetan bowl that you run an instrument, and that's extremely... How did you come into that? How did you learn that?
Yes, well, I got my sound healing certificate in San Francisco at Globe Institute. He is soundhealingcenter.com now. And, you know, it was actually at an expo. It was a sound healing expo before I even went to school, backing up. And Silvina Vergara, she is amazing, great sound healer. You can look her up. She's everywhere. Used a quartz bowl, like the one that I have. And we went through, I think she may have used her bowl for up to an hour. And I sat there in the chair, and I didn't know what to expect. And she didn't even really explain it much, but, you know, I took a few things from her, like if you have a physical ailment, please, you know, direct that sound to that part. It may unlock other things emotionally, spiritually, and that. Well, that experience for me was so powerful. I did a healing that involved, you know, some parental kind of past stuff, and I totally went through an experience that was so moving. And I thought, this is it. This is really it. This is what I've been called to do. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I haven't looked back. I've, you know, it's kind of like sometimes we want to wait till we're a master to start, you know, sharing our gifts. But
yes.
You know, the way I see the world, and you too, is we don't have time to be perfect. And, you know, we're never going to be perfect.
Well, that's
There's a quote I want to share by Leonard Cohen, and it says, ring the bells that still can ring. There's a crack in everything. Excuse
Ooh.
Me. That's where the light gets in. That's right. Yeah. Forget your perfect offering. That's it. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything.
You
that's
know,
where the light gets in.
Yes, we have been talking for some time on the show about the power of Alcoholics Anonymous, which basically is for people who have reached a point where no physical solution can, nothing will help but a spiritual approach, and that's the core of the 12 steps of AA. And in the time that I spent there working with people and also learned on myself, I kept encountering people who always felt like they had to have perfectly clean teeth before they went to the dentist to get a cleaning. And that's not the way it works.
Yeah, and I used to clean houses, and I got the same thing. I would show up, and a woman would be cleaning her house.
Before you
got
there.
For me to show up to clean the house. And I just thought, well, you know, it's all right. It's less work for me, you know, and I can go slower. But other than that, it was, very interesting. Very interesting pattern that we have there.
You have to give stuff away in order to get it. And we're down to about the last 10 minutes or so of the show. And I just went through a really intense time leaving my home in Sebastopol. You and I had met. You mugged me shortly after I moved there, actually, in Aubergine, a club, and that's how we became friends. And I've become very close to you and Erica. And there's a lot of people, as collapse proceeds now, who are going through tremendous loss, who are going through serious suffering. And that, the process of me leaving Sebastopol was one, you know, you were there, I worked hard, but there was such love that was shown, and that's part of what I think the new consciousness and the new paradigm was about. This is not about me, but why? That was something amazing to participate in, wasn't it?
It was, and, you know, I'm really grateful that you came there. I am so glad that I met you. You have changed my life in so many ways before I even met you, and after, and for everything that I ever loved about you before I met you, it's exponentially grown. So I am totally going to miss you, and so is Sonoma County, and you know that. So
yeah, it's not just about what I was so amazed was that about what I so enjoyed was you saw the crops that I had worked to grow there, and you know, I was going to have to leave, but we saw how the neighbors stepped up and the new tenants stepped up. The food was going to be cared for, and when it came time to disperse, people came and cooked for me the last two or three nights that I was there. You and Erica showed up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I think, once, or 2 o'clock, I don't know.
The night before you left.
Yeah, and you know, that was, and I hope, and I wish. This is the side benefit to what people like Carolyn Baker and I have been saying for so long. Well, you have to connect with your neighbors and your friends, because that's the most important web. That's the most important safety net. Because as this happens, these can be, as people leave and learn how to let go, and letting go is, letting go is the motto of the year right now. Letting go of old ideas, of stuff you've held on to. And letting go can become a process of regenerative giving and sharing. And that would not have happened had it not been for a sense of community that was developed there by everybody who was so aware of the new paradigm. Da, 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 and everything that's going on with it.
I agree. I'm really glad that you brought those people into my life. I look forward to, you know, deepening relationships out there. And, you know, I'm glad you said that about neighbors, because it ties into what's been going on here. I mean, and it's people that are really dedicated to connecting now. And that's what's so exciting, because these connections aren't just political. It's going to make our whole lives more balanced, everything about it. So it's really exciting, and, you know, I'm really grateful for all the connections that I've made. And, yes, people coming in and out and helping you move this and that, it was a spectacle. I was really proud to know that, you know, and I knew that. The people in Sonoma County, they're wonderful.
It was really fun to give away. I mean, I gave away all the stuff people normally put in their will, and I can't tell you how liberating that was, you know. But you get to give away the stuff that you really like to the people that you care about,
and see their faces before you're 6 feet under.
Yeah, well, and you know, I approach the garage sales and all that with not. I have to raise every penny I can. I said, there's a basic number I need, and I know I'll be all right if I can get that to get out of town. And once I got that, it became more about gifting. And we have had Charles Eisenstein, a great guest on the show. He's the author of Sacred Economics. We may have to bring Charles back sometime soon. talking about how the evolution is to a gifting economy rather than, you know, it's about giving energy. And boy, that I see that taking off in a great many places. Tammy Gosnell, what are you doing next? Have you been signed to a multi-billion-dollar record deal as a result of this, or what?
Well, no, not yet. I'm still keeping my fingers crossed and just hanging out on the corners waiting for somebody to show up. No. no. And that could mean so many things, and we
yes.
won't get into it. But
and I know you, too.
I tell you, this has started a whole new thing for me. I feel as though I almost went through this a death and transformation on stage this weekend. I've never experienced anything like it. I've never planned so little and come from my heart so much. And I am so excited to get back out there again. You know, I took 3 years off so that I can go to school and learn the things that I learned, and I'm so grateful. But I am just itching to get back and share my passion and the talent that I was given from birth to share and to, you know, inspire and awaken and yep. make people feel good,
yep.
you know.
Well, Tammy, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm going to take a few minutes here at the end of the show just to talk to my peeps. But it's been a pleasure having you on. Your music will continue to grace the Lifeboat Hour for a long time. And if you get a chance, man, just check her out, TammyGosnell.com. She's my good friend, kick-ass singer-songwriter, and I'm glad we got you on tonight, Tammy.
Thanks, Mike. I'm so glad to be able to talk to you, and thank you to all of you listeners out there.
All right. That was Tammy Gosnell. Now, for the last part of the show, I just wanted to update everybody a little bit and spend some time with you. But this is where I've evolved to now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my residence address. There's no post office box, nothing else, because if you try to Google Earth it, you won't. And if you want to write to me or Rags, I'm into being open, and my life has changed to the point where it's good. I'm not worried about anybody driving up here to harass my house. But if you want to write to me or Rags, I'm not giving you a post office box. I'm not asking for money either. I'm just opening a line of communication so that love can be shared and I can connect with you. There have been so many of you loyal people who have been with me for, 10, 12 years now, since 1996, who's counting, that I want to just open this up. You can write to me and Rags at 273-78 Red Cloud Road. Red Cloud Road in Moffitt, Moffat, Colorado, 81143. 273-78 Red Cloud Road, Moffitt, Colorado, 81143. And Rags loves you and I do. Rags will be fine. Rags is not in any pain. I took him to the great vet, and he's limp, and he's like keeping his third leg off the ground. His one of his legs off the ground. But he's still functioning normal. We're going to get the surgery done on him in a couple of weeks. He's going to be fine. He gets some scars. We go through this, but I am so convinced, and we all know that truly, as I've been building, and this is a little bit lighter show than I've been doing for a while, but that's okay. It's been pretty intense. Next week I do the awesome Sweat Lodge with Chief Steve Bluehorse, and I'm totally looking forward to that. There is a beehive of crest of spiritual activity here in the San Luis Valley in Colorado, and there is strong awareness that the times are definitely a-changing. It was good to have Tammy on tonight, because one of the things that's so important about Tammy Gosnell is just you cannot help but to wind up in a good mood when you're hanging around her. She's contagious that way. I'm not particularly concerned about what's happening in Tampa. I don't think it's earth-shattering. What I was trying to get at, and what we all need to focus on as we go through, as this gets deeper and better and darker and stranger, is that it's that love and it's that good feeling vibe that truly makes all the difference. And this is not some 70s, fluff-dried polyester approach. This is hard science, and it's real. Because the world that is coming to an end out there is a world that is based upon fear. Ones and zeros, lack, pairs of opposites. And I'm so glad that Tammy picked one of the songs that she picked was Joni Mitchell's song Woodstock. And there's some great lines in there. We are billion-year-old carbon. Yes, that's exactly what we are. And we've got to get ourselves back to the garden, a place where we were before there was knowledge of good and evil. That was an age that has been hidden from us. We have been lied to about everything. And there were times on this planet when man lived without war, with a completely different consciousness. And our task now is not to learn a new one, but as the old paradigm, as the old consciousness dies the death it has begged for since it took over this age of existence on the planet, as it reaches that death, our task is not to learn, but to remember stuff that we have known, that our ancestors knew, that is fundamental to the experience of being a human being on this planet. And that's why I really want you to pay close attention next week to my good friend Carolyn Baker. She's going to have two incredible guests. And essentially what has happened, what she described basically in a phone call to me today as we were talking, is that that Transition US, which is good and useful, but largely sterile when it comes to spiritual matters. And there's a growing body of those of us who have been talking about peak oil and collapse for a long time, who have insisted that if you leave the spiritual out, all you're doing is running a hamster in the cage, you're masturbating, you will not get anywhere. And we have shown, and I have tried to build consistently over the last months, an awareness, my awareness, and expressing the point, which I believe is catching on, that the solution to our problems is not petitions. The solution to our problems is not necessarily organizing or trying to run a political candidate. I am so done with that, I can't tell you, because the solution is really a lot simpler than that. We change the way we think. We change the way we vibrate. And I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of people that are getting it all at once, and that's what we're going to document here in upcoming episodes on the Lifeboat Hour. So don't miss Carolyn Baker next week. I'll be doing a sweat lodge. And until then, this is Mike Rupert. Have a great week. I'll see you next week on the Lifeboat Hour here on PRN FM.